the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Friday's Racing Podcast. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Ollie Pimlott for today's look at the action.
You've been thrown in the deep end with me for your first podcast, haven't you?
I know, what have they done to me?
The blind leading the blind somewhat here, isn't it?
And baptism of fire and all that.
Yeah, start you at the worst it can possibly get, it can only get better.
Yesterday, the headline on the Racing Post was about the declarations for the Grand National, which takes place on the 9th of April, and a record number of entries, 126. Many clouds looking to do it back-to-back, but as we know, that rarely happens.
Yeah, not happened since Red Rum, of course, back in 1973-74, but this is very much a different race compared to 1973-74, back to when Red Rum did it, because, of course, he carried, I think, 11 stone 8 last year, many clouds, probably only carry a couple more pounds this year. He is the highest-rated horse in the race now. But it's going to be a compressed handicap because we've got a lot of very high-quality horses entered this year. We've got Silvagnaco Conti, of course, who's won the Betfair Bowl last 2 years. Cider Champ, Don Polly, they've all got Grand National entries. I know Silvagnaco Conti, Paul Nichols, are going to see what mark the handicapper gives him, then make a decision over whether he runs in the National. But it's great to see these absolutely high-class horses running in the event. And because of that, they're going to be running in a compressed handicap. So it gives the better horses, the ones with these higher ratings, a far better chance of winning. We've seen in recent years many clouds. In previous years, you'd have said on all the stats, 11 stone 8, he can't win a National, but he's run fantastically well. Again, this year, he was second behind Smad Place, who's been well backed for the Gold Cup since. It was a race in which Bala Briggs, I think, in the same colours, was second on his way to winning a National. So he comes into this in really good form, coming to a National, does many clouds. And he's clear favourite, 12 to 1. Many clouds. The Drew's nephew's 20s. Don Polly, of course, 25 to 1. Go on Yellow, 25. Shut the Door, 25. Silvagnaco Conti, 25. But I think the fact many clouds is 12 to 1 is we're not non-running no bet on the Crabbies Grand National yet, but we're pretty much guaranteed, barring injury, that he's going to turn up there. He's going to go for one more race. Many clouds on the way to the National, but we're pretty much guaranteed that he's going to take in the Grand National many clouds, and that's why I think at 12 to 1, he's such a short price.
Yeah, absolutely. Oliver Sherwood was delighted with his performance in second, even though obviously he didn't win the race. He thought it was a really good run, and he's going to probably run at Kelso on March the 5th as well before this race.
Yeah, and that gives him 5 weeks between entry. I think if they took in Cheltenham Gold Cup, then it would be 4 weeks. So another week just gives them that little bit longer, a little bit more rest for the greatest steeplechase of them all.
Absolutely, and obviously that could have a say on the Trainers' Championship, which is very close between the top two in the market. But would you be ruling out some of the bigger prices? Nicky Henderson, for example, 16 to 1. Philip Hobbs, the same price. And then further down, you've got people like Colin Tizard at 100 to 1. And yes, he's a long way off and it's a big price. But should, you know, Thistlecrack and Cucard have a good Cheltenham? He's within a shout, isn't he?
He is with a shout. I think he's a huge price. Colin Tizard, 100 to 1 is Colin Tizard here. It does look a two-horse race between Willie Mullins, who's actually odds-on favourite now, 4 to 6, and Paul Nichols, 6 to 5. He's a long way clear, though, Paul Nichols, 1,193,193, whereas Willie Mullins is way back, 419 and 925. But given the fact we know he's going to have what? I mean, he's just above even money to have 10 or more Cheltenham winners. Of course, he had 8 last year. He's going to dominate the first day of the festival at least. But I think Paul Nichols is probably the value. Mm. He's yet to win he's won the National once. Silvagnaco Conti, not definite to turn up. He's in the World Hurdle and the Bowl. He's not been declared for the Gold Cup, so he's not going to take that in this year. But Cheltenham doesn't seem to be in his track. So if Silvagnaco Conti did take his chance at a big weight, and he'd obviously go close, but it's worth so much money in the National this year that it could have such a huge bearing on the Trainers' Championship. First prize of £561,300. So it could have a huge bearing on the Trainers' Championship. But I still think Paul Nichols is the one to beat here. you know, we all say he's had a poor season, but he's still best part of 150,000 clear on the Trainers' Championship. And I think at 6-5, he is probably the value to beat Willie Mullins, because at 4-6, he's got to have an outstanding Cheltenham. But there's still 2.8 million overall prize money left at Aintree. So a lot of money at Aintree as well. And Paul Nicholls has come out and stated a lot of his horses this year will be in need of the better ground. So of the two, I prefer Paul Nicholls to win the Trainers' Championship at 6-5.
I agree with you as well. It's mad, isn't it, to see someone's prize money listed in seven figures there and to still say he's not had the greatest of seasons is odd. But you've seen it time and time again with these trainers that they may not be running well, and all of a sudden all it takes is one decent win and all of a sudden their horses are up and running.
Yeah, even the likes of Nicky Henderson, I struggle to see him having more than two or three festival winners. He's 16-1, never won a national. He's got Hennessy winner Trilo Darlin, who was a recent winner at Kempton. He's a 25-1 shot, I think, Trilo Darlin, for the big one. But yet to win a national, Nicky Henderson. I think at Cheltenham, I struggle to see him having more than two or three winners. So it definitely looks a two-horse race between Willie Mullins and Paul Nicholls. But I just think Paul Nicholls at 6-5, probably the value. He's going to have a great Cheltenham, no matter what way you look at it, Willie Mullins. But I think he'd have to win the National for him to take the Trainers' Championship.
Absolutely. Well, it doesn't always go to plan, does it? As we saw with Cheltenham last weekend for Willie Mullins. So you watch this space with him. And the experts in the Racing Post actually saying that Mullins will have to land the Gold Cup, the Champion Chase, the Champion Hurdle, plus the Supreme, the Arkle and the Mayor's Hurdle to even stand a chance of equaling the current prize money.
Yeah, he's got to have an incredible Cheltenham, and then he's got to go on at Aintree and have a really good Aintree as well. So definitely Paul Nicholls at 6-5, it is the value. All of those Macy's which you mentioned, he's got a short price favourite. Barring Jacques Adam has been overturned by Vitor, another one of his in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, of course.
Yes.
In terms of the festival favourites, you look at the festival favourites he's got, they're all pretty short prices. There's a lot of bankers in there, but some of these you'd have to think will get turned over. He's got a Min, Duvan, Forheen, Annie Power, Black Hercules, Underso, Kultovic, Vitor, Limini and Vitor. So he's got a hell of a lot of short price favourites.
Yeah.
I think I'll make that 10 short price favourites at the festival, but the law of averages says maybe half of them are going to get beat. He has to win just about every one of those races to come up to Paul Nicholls' current prize money. There's not many Paul Nicholls horses which you could say go to the festival with a really clear-cut chance. Of course, he's got the horse in the Champion Chase to come back from injury, dodging bullets. But he's another one who's yet to be seen this season. So he's not got many standout chances at the festival, Paul Nicholls. But just the weight of prize money which he's got now alone. Of course, he plies his trade in England and Britain throughout the season. Willie Mullins does not. He's only going to raid both Aintree and Cheltenham. And Willie Mullins as well keeps a lot of his best, better horses for Punchestown, which is a couple of weeks after Aintree. So there's a good chance that he'll be keeping a lot of his better horses back for Punchestown rather than sending them to Aintree. So the National's going to have a big bearing with that 561,000 to the winner. But even barring that, I still think Paul Nicholls holds all the guns, given the fact Willie Mullins is going to have to win just about every single championship race at Cheltenham and win a good couple at the Aintree festivals to be in with a chance. And the fact he's odds on, I think he's the wrong price. I'd have Nicholls as slight favourite. 6-5, he's the value.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see. Not long really to Cheltenham now, but first there's plenty of decent racing this weekend, and most of it comes from Leopardstown, where we have the Irish Gold Cup. Road to Riches is the 8-11 favourite currently for Noel Mead. Noel Mead's never won this race. Do you think he will break his ducks this time around?
I think he will do. Noel Mead's been pretty bullish, actually, in the media over the last couple of days. Brian Cooper rode him in a gallop and said he was absolutely outstanding. Of course, Road to Riches was third in last year's Gold Cup behind Conigree. He was fourth then in the Punchestown Gold Cup behind Don Cossack and Jacques Adam. And, of course, Cue Card back in fourth now. That form doesn't look too bad at all now, does it? Only had the one start this year, Road to Riches. He was entitled to win that. He was 8-13 favourite to win the Clonmel Oil Chase. But did it really well. Did it by six lengths. Beat Felix Jonger that day, who's franked the form very much so since. Felix Jonger's won twice since in graded company. So, on the face of it, it was an 8-13 shot. Beat Brian New Dawn convincingly. That was a good start, and all roads lead to the Cheltenham Gold Cup for, of course, the third last year. But he's bound to be right for this. Brian Cooper's been very bullish, as has his trainer, Noel Mead, and I think he's going to take all the beating.
In terms of Road to Riches, obviously he didn't make the Lexus at Christmas when we were going to see him, but there's other ones there further down. Sir Deschamp, Wounded Warrior on his own. Is there any other horse at a much bigger price that you would give a maybe an each-way
The one that you can always throw your hat on to run his race is first lieutenant here. He's runner-up in the Lexus for the three of the last 4 years, twice third in the Hennessy Gold Cup at Newbury, and twice been placed in the Punchestown Gold Cup, and was runner-up to Q Card in the Ryanair a couple of years ago. So he always runs his race, but as Miles Morris says in today's paper, he's just not quite that very, very top-class Grade 1 horse. He might be one if we get the dead eight runners to back each way, because he looks an each-way bet to nothing. If Road to Riches he happened to fall or run below his best, first lieutenant should be there to pick up the pieces, but looks Road to Riches to lose the Irish Gold Cup, which, of course, was moved from Sunday, the usual meeting, to Saturday, because Ireland play Wales on Sunday. So if you are having a bet, do bear in mind the meeting is Saturday rather than the traditional Sunday this year.
Also, it's not just the Gold Cup. The Spring Juvenile Hurdle as well is taking place on the same day, and a very, very short price favourite here, 1-2. Is Ivanovich Gorbatov backable at that price?
Well, if he's as good as they say he is, he's a very short price for the Triumph Hurdle. Only had the one run, of course, Raiden O'Brien, and was very, very good indeed in winning. The form has been frank significantly since. I think we've had three or four winners at least out of the race. Aidan O'Brien trained Isterbrack, of course, to win three champion hurdles. The Son of Montjeu was very impressive when he won at Leopardstown over Christmas. And he is, of course, one of 11 entries from Ireland in the Triumph Hurdle. So if he's going to trank the form in the Triumph Hurdle, he's got to be taking this in and winning it well. One at a huge price that might be worth taking each way is Rashan. Comes from a stable which wouldn't be very sexy. He came into his race at Christmas unbeaten and bombed out. They've had big offers for this horse. They've decided to keep him. And if he rediscovers his form from earlier in the season, then Rashan at 16-1 might be the each-way value. But as it stands, Ivanovich Gorbatov at 1-2 is going to take a hell of a lot of beating if he reproduces his Leopardstown form at Christmas.
OK, and before we get on to Friday's action, where we'll be looking at races from Catterick and Chepstow, very quick word, if we can, from the for the Deloitte Novice Hurdle. Bells Hill at 11-8 is the favourite. Tombstone 15-8, and then York Hill at 9-4.
And we don't know which or all of these are going to turn up, because William Mullins has first three in the betting there. Bells Hill, Tombstone and York Hill. We do know Coney Island's going to turn up, but my idea of the winner is definitely Bells Hill if he comes here at 11-8. Obviously, Yanworth has usurped him as favourite for the Neptune Investment Management Novices Hurdle. Very, very impressive in the Neptune trial at Cheltenham at the weekend was Yanworth for Alan King and JP McManus. Unbeaten record now. To five of the hurdles, Yansworth, but Bells Hill was an outstanding bump horse last year, won the Punchestown Champion Bumper, was second behind Barters Hill in the Aintree Bumper. He's a really good horse, and I think he's probably the best novice that William Mullins has over the staying trips this year. I still think he could well beat Yanworth in the Neptune. I think 11-8 on Bells Hill on Saturday afternoon is a very fair price.
Well, there we are. We will wait and see. We look forward to the weekend's action from Leopardstown. As Ollie said, remember, the change of day is important. Don't miss the potential to have a bet on those races. Looking forward to that. But sooner, more pertinently, it's Chepstow and Catterick on Friday's card. They're joined by Lingfield and Wolverhampton as well. We're going to look at a couple of races from both Chepstow and Catterick, and we'll start with the Welsh track and the 350, which is a handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. This is a Class 4 race, and there are currently 11 runners declared. Who do you fancy in this one?
Yeah, quite a decent handicap hurdle, this. I'm very sweet on the chances of Harley Rebel here for Neil Mulholland and Richard Johnson. He was a fair performer on the flat, this lad. Showed improved form when winning at Fontwell. That was in heavy in December. And then clear of the rest when he ran into somewhat of a handicap blot last time. That was at Kempton. The handicap has raised him £8, but he can get in here off his old mark. Of course, he'll be due to be reassessed next week. He gets a valuable weight for age allowance as well. Given he's a four-year-old, he gets that allowance to exploit as well. So he's effectively very well in here, as I say. He should go up £8 as of next week. Gets the four-year-old allowance. And he ran into a very well-handicapped horse at Kempton last time. So lots of ticks in the right boxes to recommend him. Turned out from the same mark before the assessor can react. There's a couple to make note of here. We've got French Recruits, Alior, Le Boisello. He warrants a more than cursory market check for Robert Walford on his British debut. Jamie Moore on board that one. Jeremy Scott's horse, Albera Bello, the top weight, is well worth noting as well. Was at the top of his game over fences when last seen in the spring. He backed up his course win with a pair of runner-up efforts. His horses are in a lot better form now. I think he's 3 winners from his last 10 runners. So Albera Bello is worth noting at the top of the weights, but certainly the one for me to win here is Harley Rebel. Turned out quickly, gets the four-year-old allowance, due to go up £8 as of next week. He looks the one to be taking in the 350 at Chepstow. So 350 at Chepstow, my selection is Harley Rebel for Neil Mulholland and Richard Johnson.
Okay, and moving on to the race that is immediately after on the Chepstow card. It's the 420. It's the it's a handicap chase, class 4, over the 2 miles and 7, and there's 9 runners here. Who do you fancy?
I like track form at Chepstow. Often gets very deep, and the one with fantastic track form here is Moreland's Mist. His overall record here reads 2nd, win-win, 5th, 5th, 2nd, 2nd. Makes plenty of appeal as well, lining up off an £11 lower mark than when he was beaten 3 parts of a length over hurdles. That was at this track last time. So back over fences, £11 better off than he is off his chase mark. But Moreland's Mist definitely gets a vote. £11 lower over fences than he is over hurdles. Fantastic record here at Chepstow. But his low chase mark, you'd argue, is fully justified, but he's very much a Chepstow specialist. Switch to fences rather than the hurdles could well work the Oracle here. So a strong selection in the 420 at Chepstow is Moreland's Mist for Evan Williams and Connor Ring, who takes off a valuable 5.
OK, we're on to the next handicap chase. This one taking place in Catterick, though, and it's at 2.25. It's the Interactive Handicap Chase. A long one, this, 3 miles and 1 furlong. Class 4 for 5-year-olds and above, and there are 8 runners at the moment taking place in this one. Do you have a strong selection in this one?
I wouldn't say I have a strong selection. Really competitive handicap, this, over the 3 mile, 1 furlongs at Catterick. Going to be pretty testing there tomorrow. Good to soft at Catterick tomorrow afternoon. The one to concentrate on first here is Old Thunder, who won pretty much as he liked in a 0-100 handicap over the course and distance recently. Certainly warrants respect under a £7 penalty. But let's have a little look at some more of these. Treliver Manor was only having his second start over fences when he was 8 lengths behind Old Thunder. That was over course and distance. He is on £8 better terms with Old Thunder for their last meeting. The one I'm going to take a chance on here is Runswick Warral off bottom weight here for Henry Brook and Kenny Slack. He shades the verdict over the others in receipt of £16 from the likes of Old Thunder. He showed a liking for this track when he's winning over 2 mile 3 here. That was only 2 starts ago, and he arguably stepped up on that performance when he was runner-up over an extended 2 mile 7 at Musselburgh last time. Steps up to 3 mile, 1.5 furlongs here at Catterick, but given how sharp a track Catterick is, pretty similar to Musselburgh, he gets his good ground, which he requires here, Runswick Royale. So Runswick Royale would be the selection in 2.25 at Catterick, the bottom weight for Kenny Slack and Henry Brook.
Okay, and the final race we're going to look at today on Friday's card is also at Catterick, and this time it's the 4 o'clock. There are 8 runners in this one. 2 miles and 3 furlongs is the distance. A Class 3 race. And is there anyone in this race that particularly stands out?
Yeah, really good race, this, for the track. Top weight here is Cloudy Joker off a mark of 125. He's bidding for a hat-trick. Obvious place to start. He's shown a really good attitude when picking up 2 races here last month. He has, however, been raised another £5 in the racings, and he's got that to contend with here. Rear Admiral finished just 2 lengths behind Cloudy Joker on his last start, and he's now £8 better off, so that's worth noting, the fact Rear Admiral is £8 better off with Cloudy Joker for that beating here last time. But the one I like here is Cobbler Swain for Lucinda Russell and Peter Buchanan. He was really impressive when he won at Musselburgh back in November. He was 3rd off this mark at Cheltenham the following month. Has had a break of 56 days in between those runs and comes here off a very fair mark. He does look the most progressive one in the field. So the Cobbler Swain would be the selection in the 4 o'clock at Catterick for Peter Buchanan and Lucinda Russell.
OK, well, thank you very much. They're your selections. And obviously you can hear Ollie on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1 o'clock along with Darren Owen and Mick Norton. So thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Jack. And I hope you've had a nice debut, my friend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.